Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
After Jesus rose from the dead, John chapter 20 and verse 19 says, "That evening the disciples were meeting behind locked doors in fear of the Jewish leaders when suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. And after they greeted them, he showed them his hands and his side. And how wonderful was their joy when they saw the Lord. He spoke to them again and said, 'As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.' Then he breathed on them and told them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" The resurrection of Jesus Christ provides clear evidence that he is the Son of God and the only Savior of the world. No other religious founder has ever raised from the dead. Yet Jesus told his disciples that they must receive the Holy Spirit. And he said this to them because it was the only way they could become the light and the salt of their society. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." By salt, he meant the influencing factor in the world. Now, it's interesting that 81% of Americans consider themselves to be Christians. A Newsweek poll reveals that although most Americans are still holding on to their faith and describing themselves as Christians, fewer believe religion can answer today's problems. 68% of Americans think religion is losing influence on American life. I believe it's because there are many people who believe in the resurrection, but they're not living a successful Christian life, being the light for the world, all the salt in this society. And Jesus told his disciples to be effective witnesses of the truth that they must receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1 and 4, Jesus gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, which he promised to you and you heard me speak about." Verse 8, he went on to say, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will become my witnesses." There are too many witnesses in our world without the power of God in their lives. And as a result, they're bringing shame to the message of the gospel. And let me just say something here. If you are not living a morally pure life according to the Bible, please stop telling people that you're a Christian. You're giving God a bad name. See, there are many people who believe, well, God will bless you regardless of what you do. Just do your best. Do the best you can. We're just human. The Bible says any person who comes to Jesus Christ is a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, everything becomes brand new. No, my friend, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, he changes your life. By the power of his Holy Spirit, you can live a life that obeys the word of God. Now, many people are religious. But there's a difference between religion and true Christianity. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 6 and 46. He said, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you do not obey me?" Listen, people, we've just got to talk facts today. It's not enough to know who Jesus Christ is. You must obey him. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be his disciple, and if you're not living according to the word, don't witness. Because you're bringing shame upon the Lord by your behavior. Now listen to the sobering thing that Jesus himself said. In Matthew 7 and 21, he said, "Not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven." You see, the Bible tells us that we ought to live a holy life. In Hebrews 12 and 14, it says, "Live a morally pure and holy life, for one who is not holy will not see the Lord." As a Christian, you cannot habitually sin. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you are sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. The Bible says that if we are Christians and we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Yes, that's true. But as Christians, we can't habitually sin because our very nature has been changed. Oh, you may slip, you may fall, you may do something, but you're going to be so convicted that you're going to say, "I can't do that again. I can't keep doing this because God is in my heart. Something has changed about me." Before Christ, you could sin and do whatever you wanted. But after Christ, your very nature changes. And you cannot habitually sin. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 John 3 and 9. "Those who have been born into God's family do not sin, because God's life is in them. So they cannot keep on sinning, because they have been born of God." You see, you must have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life so that you can obey the word of God. Because only the Holy Spirit gives us power over temptation. And we are all tempted. And your flesh refuses to be subject to the will of God. You see, we were created a triune being. We are a spirit, we possess a soul, and we live in a body. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." See, some people think you can be sanctified only in your spirit. Oh, I love God, but my body does whatever it wants. No. Well, in my spirit, I'm born again. I'm okay. But my mind, you know, my mind wants to feed on things. No, you can't do that and be a Christian. That's the reason why the scripture says, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Listen, may your whole spirit, your soul or your mind, and your body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are born again, and your spirit becomes changed by the power of God. However, the Bible tells us that your soul or your mind must be renewed by the word of God. That's why it's so important for every Christian who gets born again to begin to read and study the Bible so that your mind can become renewed, your soul can be changed by the word of God. And you say, "I have a body, what do I do with that?" You've got to crucify that. our body must be crucified or rendered as dead. Don't you listen to your body, because it'll get you into a lot of trouble. Christian or no Christian, your body is not your friend. And Romans 8 and 7 says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. How do you know that? Because even when you try to read the Bible, being a good little Christian, what happens? You fall asleep. Even when you kneel in the most reverent position with your arms raised, you find yourself lifting yourself up off the floor with sleep in your eyes, wondering what happened. Well, your body put you to sleep. Your body will rebel against God's will for your life. You need to understand that you'll find no help from your body. But the Holy Spirit will give you power to put to death your carnal desires. In Romans 8 and 12, it says, dear brother and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to your sinful nature and what it urges you to do. Once you become a child of God, you have no obligation to fulfill the desires of your flesh. Because if you keep on doing that, the Bible says you will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, then you will live. How do we turn from our carnal desires and our evil deeds in our body? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, for years and years, I struggled as a Christian till I found this verse. I was trying to do my best to be a good little Christian. I tried and I tried and I tried, but I had the I can't help it. Any of you have those today? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. I know you have them. The Bible talks about besetting sins, just little things that come up, you know. Next thing you know, woo. Oh, well, Jesus, please forgive me of that. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I told that white lie. There are no white lies. They're all black. Every misrepresentation is a lie. I mean, when you begin to live to the standard of God's word, you find out you really need help. None of us can live a holy life apart from the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you that today. That is crucial for you to understand in this sermon. You must obey the laws of God, and the only way you can obey them is with the help of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it by yourself.
Thanks for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We hope you're enjoying today's message. Now here's Pastor Steve with an invitation for you.
Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Steve. I want to invite you to our Good Friday Candlelight Communion Service, April 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Our annual Good Friday service is one where the presence of God is so real. Many people are healed. Many receive a personal word from the Lord as well. You won't want to miss this special service. Please consider joining us on Sunday for our Easter Resurrection service as well.
Come and be with us April 3rd for our Good Friday Candlelight Communion service. Then join us Easter Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for a special service as we celebrate together. The church is located in the heart of the Metroplex at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. You can get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
I want to continue where I left off last time, discussing the seductions of the heart. In Jeremiah 17 and 9, it says, the human heart is most deceitful and desperately wicked. That's the truth from the Word of God. We're talking about seductions of the heart. To seduce means to deceive and mislead. It means to tempt to do evil, to be disloyal and disobedient. It also means to engage in immoral conduct. Your heart will lead you in places God never sent you. I feel sorry for people who say, I just follow my heart. I'm ready to say, uh-oh, you follow your heart, you're in big trouble, because your heart will seduce you to do the wrong things. In Proverbs 21 and 2, it says, every way of man is right in his own eyes. Repeat that after me. Every way of a man or a woman is right in their own eyes. Yeah. See, people think that they're doing the right thing. I've had people try to talk me out of what the Bible says. I sing this little song. I give the words most of the time because I don't sing that great. But there's nothing wrong with me making love to you as long as our love is true. Giving myself to you can never be wrong if the love is true. Some of you remember that song. You see, it's your thing. You can do what you want to do. God can't tell you who to sock it to. See, it's your thing. Or it's your thing. Your flesh, your body wants to do its own thing. I don't want you to ever be deceived. Listen, if you're dating and you go someplace by yourself and it's dark, putting the Bible between you is not going to help you. Someone said it don't work. They tried it probably. No, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to live right. Don't do what seems right in your mind. Live your life by what the Word of God says, and do not follow your heart. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, don't follow your heart.
Don't follow your heart.
Because your heart is deceitful. And it will get you into trouble. Your heart is so deceitful, you won't know if you're coming or going. You'll be in love with one person yesterday. Today it's another person. Tomorrow it'll be somebody else. And none of them your husband or wife.
Come on now.
That's just the truth. Now listen to what Jesus says about your sweetheart. Not your sweetheart, but your heart. Matthew 15 and 19, Jesus said, from the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, all other sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander, all from your little heart. You see, there's a war going on inside of each of us, whether we are to obey our own desires, the desires of the old nature, that is, or God's will for our lives, which is described through His Word. Now, listen to what Galatians 5 and 17 says. It says, the old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. I saw a little cartoon when I was growing up that gave me great spiritual insight as a child. On this side of the person, there was an angel. And on this side was the devil. And the devil would whisper into the person's ear to do something bad. And the angel would yell out, no, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. And then the devil would say, oh, you really want to do that. I realized as a child, wow, there is a war going on. There is something good telling me to do what's good and something bad telling me to do what's bad. And then the end of the cartoon said, don't listen to the devil because he ain't on the level. I had my sermon right there as a young boy. I'm teaching about it this morning. I'm just telling you. I mean, some cartoons were really uplifting back in those days. Don't watch too many today because they're weird. All kinds of crazy things with crazy colors and beings and all of that. But at least they had proper morality, even in the cartoons. Don't listen to the devil. He's not on the level. Listen to God. Listen to that good voice that tells you to obey only good things and do the things that God wants you to do. Now, I hate to tell you this, but salvation does not make you free from temptation. How many of you have found that out? You're born again, but you're still tempted. Welcome to the human race. The Bible says in James 1 and 14, each one is tempted. In other words, we're all tempted. We're tempted when by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived. Folks, flirting with temptation will cause you to yield to it and lose out with God's plan and destiny for your life. Do not flirt with sin. Do not flirt with immorality. Do not flirt with the things you know that you should not be flirting with. There was a man in a church that I was pastoring some time ago. And this young man, beautiful wife, starting a family, began to call the 800 sex line. Now, if you stay up long enough, you'll see nice-looking young girls on the telephone pretending that they're talking to somebody. And they're saying naughty things. And they're sitting in naughty positions. And acting like they're enjoying the conversation. And many individuals call up those 800 sex lines for people to talk dirty to them. Are you folks hearing me? Do you know what I'm talking about? Good. This young man began doing that. And the conversations began to arouse him. Soon he found himself out seeking these ladies for sex. Eventually, he lost his wife and his family because he began to get involved with these women on the phone. And guess what? It all began with one telephone call. Now, I hate to tell you this, but salvation does not make you free from temptation. How many of you have found that out? You're born again, but you're still tempted. Welcome to the human race. The Bible says in James 1 and 14, each one is tempted. In other words, we're all tempted. We're tempted when by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is called The Power of the Resurrection. This is part one. Now Pastor Steve has a prayer for you.
If you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart or would like to renew your relationship with him, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I am sorry for them and I forsake them now. I invite you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Your word says, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I do believe, and I do confess that Jesus is the Son of God. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer with me, then Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior.
And I want to encourage you to continue to seek God by talking to Him as your best friend. Read the Bible. Trust God for all of your needs. He's always there with you. God bless you and keep listening to A Place to Grow.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We are honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.